If you haven't already heard me talk about, post about, or share about the She Speaks Conference, then this is brand new to you and I'm really happy. But if you have, now is your chance to hear it through the words of another horse's mouth. Wait, did I just call myself and Carissa a horse? Well, I like horses, so my friend Marielle would really appreciate the reference, but I'll stop rambling and get to the juicy stuff. So this conference isn't about writing or speaking. It's about community. It's about women relating on deep levels, cutting directly past the, what's a Christianly word for this? Honky-tonk? That might have a sexual reference. I don't know. It's a country song. But right past the jargon and going right for the heart. We all have a story. We all have a testimony. We all have the right to share. And frankly, we all have a declaration to share biblically. Not just the 800 women that were in the room or the tens of thousands of women who streamed the conference to their churches or homes. Your story carries weight, it carries worth and purpose, and it is different than any other person's, and it's enough to create an impact in the kingdom. Why would you not share? Are you bold enough to share? Y'all, this is more than ministry work. This is life, and as you know it, life is hard. Messy and very imperfect, even when the church is involved. Carissa shares about her infertility, her marriage, her friendships, her guilt in motherhood, grief, love, and loss. A lot of things that we can relate with on many different levels. Her ability to empower boldness is done with such elegance. I admire her strength and her grace. And since our time on the live podcast together, Carissa and her husband have come out with the truth about their marriage. What happened, and all of the details in between. This podcast and their blog series may cause discomfort. It may initiate triggers, and it may cause worry in your own home. But ultimately, the goal is not to create fear. It is to cause action and release all of those negative emotions. Tune in to the uncovering of her story. This is just a taste. After you're done, pop over to her blog, carissasprinkle.com, for the more nitty-gritty details. It's intense, y'all. You're along for a ride. We are all in pursuit of something more. Wherever, whatever, or whoever your more is, I want to help you get there, wholly, fully, authentically, and truly fit. The Fit in Faith movement was birthed through my own trial and error discovery of mind, body, and soul alignment. I learned firsthand that being fit isn't about our physique at all. It's about the wholeness of our heart and the root of our joy. This isn't a fitness podcast. This isn't a quick fix health detox ploy. This isn't confusing religious banter. This is a whole body health checkup, focusing on the heart. This is an opportunity to join me alongside other big dreamers, innovative movers, and lifestyle shapers as we explore and share our messy comeback stories to wholeness. If you're one step away from achieving your idea of something more, tune in for practical, fun, and healthy ways to ignite yourself into even more. Welcome to the Fit in Faith podcast with me, Tamara Lee Andress. There is no better time than now to get fit.
So I'm so excited to introduce you guys to Carissa. We've known each other for a year, but really only via social media. We met at the conference last year briefly, and you meet so many people, and it's like, what's your story? You dive deep so fast, so you connect with people in a different way. And I was talking about this yesterday about how important I realized that revelation is, that I forget people's names all the time. I'm horrible at names. Me too. And so I remember people based on how, like, my experience with them. And if somebody shares something deep with me, I usually am like, oh, this is that. And whether it's a really great thing or it's something they shared with me in confidentiality, I'm able to, like, pray over that person in such a different way. I'm able to just, like, be with them more because it's deeper than just, hey, I'm from Indiana. Oh, you have family there? Cool. And then that's it. So I'm excited for people to, like, hear portions of your story. Why are you here? What does She Speaks mean to you? And just all the things. Tell me all the things.
Okay, goodness. I know. It's a
so many things.
So many things. Do I look at you? Do I look at
either way, wherever you feel called, if you feel like you need to talk to them because I know.
That's great. Well, I came last year because I just felt like God had started conjuring up this passion to write about hardship and hard things and uncomfortable things. And life's been just really, really crazy. So back way up, we got married. My husband and I got married like 10 years ago.
Okay.
And it was maybe, I don't know, a few years in, we decided we wanted to start having kids.
Yeah.
And it just didn't go at all how we thought.
Yeah.
So we did, we found out we both had issues. It was going to take a long time. So we ended up going through several years and lots of procedures, IUIs that didn't work. It's weird to summarize something that was so painful.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
So it was a very long drawn out thing, but we ended up doing 4 rounds of IVF.
Wow.
And, but after 4 rounds IVF and a miscarriage, I, finally, got pregnant.
Yeah.
So I now have a 2.5-year-old daughter. She's almost 3. But during the infertility season, my husband was on staff at our church. He was in ministry, creative arts director. He would teach sometimes, do music and all that.
Cool.
But infertility was really, really rough. Ministry was really, really rough. So I'm going to be sharing on the blog in actually a few weeks just kind of how our marriage started to crumble as a result of everything that went on. So
yeah,
infertility was rough. Our marriage just totally fell apart.
Yeah.
And my insecurities blew up. My self-esteem plummeted.
Yeah.
There was just so many things going on at once.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest thing that I've realized is this is like all of us.
Yes.
And I think it's
that's
so
the
weird.
Part of sisterhood.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is all of us.
Yeah.
And so I think my passion and my heart for writing and what I share is to sort of unify everyone in our pain.
Yeah.
Because it's everywhere.
It is.
And marriage
it's
issues.
So, yeah, marriage issues. That's what we were talking is like, there's this umbrella of like, oh, marriage issues. And there's so many different pockets that fall underneath
yes.
that. But the heart, the emotion is all the same.
Yes.
And so that's the part that if we can connect there, we can create this bond and understanding of like, let me not just like love you, let me support your marriage.
Yeah.
And it is so imperative for us to not have people who advocate for us individually, but
mm-hmm.
who advocate for us for as husband and wife, because
mm-hmm.
under our covenant, we are one.
Mm-hmm.
And yet so often we're pulled in these separate directions by the world. And
yeah.
that was never God's intent. Like he's like, you
yeah.
know, you leave and cleave, you're from your family for a reason, and you're supposed to be together in everything that you do thereafter.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
of course, like we have our separate passions and our separate
yes.
pursuits and things like that. But it's easy, especially in hardship of something like that so deep, like infertility, for you to lose yourself. And
mm-hmm.
for you to lose,
mm-hmm.
why are we together? What are we fighting
mm-hmm.
for? Why is she crazy because she wants a baby? Like, what's going on,
yeah.
right? But that's like, speak to like how the infertility journey for you has like attacked your femininity. Like, about being a woman or
yeah.
your body image.
Well, and I was in a weird place too where literally in my friend circle, everyone was just having babies on accident.
Oh, gosh.
On the first
yeah.
try. And my closest 2 best friends were just having babies like crazy.
Yeah.
And so I think I just felt left out of this club.
Yeah.
And there's so many things about parents and motherhood. And motherhood is wonderful. Now that I'm on the other side of it, it is wonderful and to be celebrated, and I celebrate it wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
But when you're not a part of it, you really feel like you're just out of this
mm-hmm.
club, and there's
mm-hmm.
no way to get into it.
No.
You're so out of control.
So
you just
true.
Can't
it is.
Make it happen.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I felt like, yeah, I struggled with depression during that time because
yeah.
it is like desiring to be a mother is such a core part of many of us, not
yeah.
for everyone, but
yeah.
for many of us.
It's
and
so
it really felt like I was missing something by not being able to do that.
Yeah. So, like, the mental attack there, and then I know the physical attack because you're taking, like, what, shots?
Hormones,
for,
all
the things
words.
With
my weight
that.
Was going all over the place, my emotions were going all over the place. And you're trying to, like, have a healthy marriage and do the rest of your life really healthy. But I think one of the biggest things that I would describe about infertility is that it's, you're constantly grieving someone who you've never met.
Ugh.
And it's such a hidden grief. People don't see it, you know, if you're...
Mom
dies, people are like, oh my word, I'm so sorry, I'll bring you food, we'll have a funeral, we'll do all this, but like, if you're grieving a baby you never got to meet, it's so hidden, and so there's just, you're walking around with this constant sorrow, and it's hard to explain.
And
to
there's
people.
Babies everywhere.
And there's babies
so
everywhere.
So it's
so
not
triggered,
something you can
like,
get away
you're
from.
You're just constantly triggered by... all of it. Yeah.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
That's really hard.
So.
I had a girlfriend who recently has inspired me that has gone into like the Young Living oils. And the reason she did that was because of infertility. And it was like she, you know, I won't tell her testimony, but I'll tag her here. Brittany's amazing. But to see
that's
like
awesome.
What people do in that grief, and you can handle it so many different ways, right?
Oh, yeah.
Both negatively and positively.
Mm-hmm.
And like, God wants to use all the things that pass through his fingers as good, and he will, but it's a matter of like releasing that for him versus taking ownership in the fact that like, that's part of your identity. It's not a part of your identity. God never claimed you as an infertile being. That's not his intent.
True.
And yet I know and understand that some people do have medical things of why they can't get pregnant, and there's purpose behind that too.
Mm-hmm.
But I know from the heart of his creation of woman, that's not his plan.
It's so true. And I think that reminded me of something I'm going to post a blog very soon about the transition from infertility to motherhood was really, really tricky.
Wow.
And so that identity of that label of feeling infertile, if you've known it for so many years, it was weird. When I had a baby, it was like not real because I still felt infertile. It was like, and then I would go and hang out with all these other moms and they're just talking mom stuff. And I'm like, I literally for a while was like, I don't feel like I belong here. And then you kind of have this survivor's guilt of like, I'm betraying all of my infertile community that I went through the trenches with. Yes.
Oh.
So it was a weird thing to like learn how to release that and let it go and fully embrace motherhood and say, no, I am a mother.
Yeah.
I was also infertile.
Right.
But
right.
neither of those are who I really am.
Right. And that, I mean, that's a whole identity piece in and of itself and like the labels that we carry and the titles that we hold and having to shed those and just own the fact that we're daughters of the King as our priority title.
Mm-hmm.
And so this weekend we go through and we pass out like hundreds of business cards, right?
Yeah.
And I had a really hard time creating my business card last year, not because of the the concept thing. I'm like really good at marketing things and my girlfriend design fanatic, but she wanted to put my face on the card. And I was so against it. I was like having gut problems, like literally gut problems with it. I felt like so much anxiety about it. And she's like, Tamara, you are a part of your brand. Like, without you, the brand doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, but, like, it feels conceited. It feels arrogant. It feels like it's about me, and that's not what my heart is about.
Yeah, it's so weird.
It's so hard. And she basically was like, I'm making them. This is, they're beautiful. This is where we're going with it.
That's
so pass out all these business cards. So this year, prior to the conference, I'm like, I really want new business cards and I really don't want my face on it. Even a year later, even knowing that like the brand and I are synonymous and it's not a conceit, it's all about God. But I'm still sort of on it, so I'll show it to you afterwards. But I realize that that is so important for us to recognize and to be confident in the fact that yes, you're a daughter and she's a daughter and she's a daughter. But what happens on these business cards is that you put a label to someone and I don't like it.
Yeah.
I really have a hard time with it. And so like, how do you say this? I'm a blogger. cool.
Yeah, I hate that.
Like,
there's a million bloggers.
Yes.
Why do I want to be another blogger?
Yes, or
yeah.
even like, I'm an author, or
yeah.
I'm an aspiring author, or all of these
yeah.
little taglines that make up who we are, and I understand
yeah.
it as a part of our identity, but it's not the identity. So do you pass out a business card? Daughter of the King. I mean, what do you do?
Yeah.
It's a worldly battle.
Yeah.
But I still haven't figured it out. I have
yeah.
like 3 things under my name
yeah.
for that reason, because I cannot commit to, like, I am not one thing.
Right.
I don't even have that I'm a mom.
You don't want to box yourself in.
No, I don't like it. I am multi-passionate.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. We are complex beings
yes.
who are children of God. But we can do all these things.
Yes.
It's great.
And it's okay. I think for a long time I struggled with, I am multi-passionate, and
yeah.
I'm starting all these little, I did every MLM, okay? Like, I was an MLM fanatic, so I'm, this is the thing. This
yeah.
is what's going to work. And my husband's like, again? Like, you're going to do this again? How long are you going to stick with this one? And he wasn't, like, questioning me. He was always supporting me.
Yeah.
But, and he would always usually get or do alongside whatever I did, but I'm sure inside he's like, oh, sweet child.
Here we go again. I know. Man, I did a couple. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, let's see. And I don't bash any of them. They're amazing. People make their
yeah.
entire
careers. And some people really do
out of
really
them.
Well.
Yes.
yes.
And it's amazing. And they
yeah.
are passionate. I think the missing link for me was that I wasn't ever passionate enough.
Mm-hmm.
It was just something
mm-hmm.
that I was like, oh, I like this. This is cool. Let's see what it goes with it.
Yeah.
But I don't like sales. So,
yeah.
yeah. So many weird things.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I don't either. And I think once I discovered, oh, really what I want to do is unite people and help people see that there is, like, freedom and healing is
yeah.
possible. And
yeah.
so once I learned that I can do that through writing,
yeah.
and then last year at She Speaks, they just basically affirmed all of that,
yes.
and they're like, yes, do it.
Yes.
I think it was like, oh man, all these light bulbs went off. So
right.
That is, like, the most fulfilling thing to
yeah.
me, I think, is
yeah.
to, like, speak hope into other women.
So
good. Help
and
them
I
feel
think
known and validated.
That's like the why, right? Like, they're like, declare your why. Comprehend
yeah.
the why. So, you know, to again on the MLM thing, like, if somebody has a why that is greater than I want you to buy an essential oil,
mm-hmm.
their why is huge behind it.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the success drives from. That's
yeah.
where the freedom drives from in what they're doing. And so here we are, you've established your why,
mm-hmm.
and now it's, okay, let's keep walking into that and unveiling
yeah.
to other people
yeah.
what that why is.
Yes.
And also not worrying about what they think while you
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, that's hard too.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I know
I struggle with that
the
maze,
depth
really.
Of like what
yeah.
an author who is writing about their story and trying to reveal how you have access to this healing as well. Mine would be wholeness or freedom.
Yeah.
Is so vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely dealt with image about, like, what is she thinking about me? What are they
yeah.
thinking about me? What do they say behind my back?
Yes.
For a really, really long time, even, like, within family dynamics,
mm-hmm.
and having to come to the realization that, like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Goodness. No kidding.
It's so hard. So how do you, like, personally, like, walk through that? And
man, I feel like I do have to keep coming back to what did he say?
Yeah.
What does he tell me to do? Because it is true. Like, we've lost relationships
mm-hmm.
and I've gotten people's opinions, and it gets really messy in here really quickly.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I have to keep coming back to, what did he say? What did he do in my life? And what did he tell me to do about it?
Yeah.
And this
oh,
is it.
So good.
And so I feel like if I just keep coming back to that
yeah.
and having people in my life who see that same vision and calling over me
yes.
and they keep speaking it too, or I'll run to them. I mean, I texted
so
my best
good.
Friend last night.
Yeah.
And he was like, being at this conference with a million other women who are amazing at what they do is so empowering. And I feel so insecure. And it was, like, hitting me last night.
Yes.
I was like, okay. I feel really, like, you know.
Yeah. Anxious.
Yeah.
And,
I'm
yeah.
just like, okay, this is where my insecurity buttons are going to get pushed.
Yep.
And, again, I think she just reminded me, like, yeah, this is your story. This is what you're
mm-hmm.
doing. This is where you fit in and what God has asked you to do.
Yeah.
And you have to stay on that.
Yeah.
And my husband's done the same thing. So having people, like,
sure.
reiterate that
yeah.
who are all for what they see in you.
Right. It's so,
so
important.
Yeah.
I wonder, because I know a lot of people, and I coach women through like kind of declaring their passion and purpose, making those align, and then actively putting them into action in their life. Is we talk about calling and vision and
mm-hmm.
purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And these are really big words.
Mm-hmm.
And to a lot of people, when you know it, it's simple. Like, this is my calling. This is what I'm
yeah.
called to do.
Yeah.
How did you discover, like, this is what I'm called to? Like, unwrap that for somebody who is struggling with vision or calling or purpose.
Yeah. Man. Coming to this conference last year was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's not a conference for everything everyone wants
yeah.
to do, but getting with like-minded people, I think I'm like my husband, my closest friends, my
yeah.
family, they're very different from me in a lot
yeah.
of ways.
Yeah.
And so I feel like the oddball sometimes of wanting to share my life
yeah.
and
yes.
talk to people
so
in this
yeah.
way.
Yes.
So I think being with like-minded people kind of brought in this new element of like, oh, this is good. This
yes.
is healthy for you to want
yes.
to do this. And it's needed.
Mm-hmm.
And you're created this way because this is needed.
Right, right. And
so,
there are people who, we were talking about introverts versus extroverts at dinner last night with a bunch of extroverts. And it's so silly. And I have children who you, and my husband, who would stand on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, how does that work? And understanding the value in the fact that they don't want to share, but also knowing the importance of the fact to share.
Yeah.
And like creating that, again, balance, and like, what does that look like? God didn't create us the exact same with
yes.
such purpose. He
yes.
didn't create the pastor to be the evangelical. He didn't create the apostle to be the pastor.
Right.
You have to be all of the things,
yeah.
not individually, but
yeah.
having a community that's driving that is so important. I remember coming and being like, oh, and then that comparison mode of, I'm not crazy. Holy cow.
Yeah, I have
there's a lot of other people
yeah.
like me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And feeling like such relief.
Yeah.
Knowing that all these other women are pursuing something similar. So that is a really good sound advice. Get in a community. Find like-minded people.
Yeah.
And you say that there's not a conference or a retreat for all of these people. I think that there probably
is. You know what? There probably is.
And if there's not a retreat or a conference, there's a Facebook group.
Yeah.
So
there's somebody. There are people who
yes.
want to do what you do.
Yes.
Do what
it's
you
interesting.
Do.
Rachel Hollis, who I love and adore, she recently had to change her like promo. I don't know if you noticed it or listened
uh-uh.
to her. Her intro was always like, with a high school diploma and a Google search bar. And it now says from a high school diploma and an internet with access to everything. And she had to change because Google, I'm sure it was a Google thing. Like
huh.
they either wanted money
yeah.
or she was
really?
Branding without recognition of or receipt of things
yeah.
or whatever. But it's so true that like the internet gives us all of this information.
It's
the
so
internet
true.
Will have your story intertangled in so many different resources.
Yeah.
It's standing on the fact that yours and that comparison mode, yours is different
uh-huh.
and yours is enough
uh-huh.
and yours is worthy.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, you as a human being would not exist. Carissa would not have been born.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So coming alongside like-minded people, these people have, oh my gosh, she's going to steal my idea, or I just did that last week and she's talking about the same exact thing.
Yeah.
It's not a competition.
Yeah.
That's where you can just rest in the fact of, thank you, Jesus, that somebody else is aligned with me enough, which is aligned with you,
mm-hmm.
that then can spread to their people.
Mm-hmm.
How many pastors are speaking on freedom?
Mm-hmm.
How many pastors
mm-hmm.
are speaking on grace?
It's true. The church, I feel like, is limited sometimes
yeah.
because they kind of get a bad rap. People are like, well, the church, you know, didn't do this very well. Or
yeah.
the church, you know, and the church has major weaknesses.
Yeah.
But, and we were on staff at a church, and we love church, and we love our church.
Yeah.
And, but I also kind of love that not being on staff anymore,
mm-hmm.
I feel this freedom to, like, I can address whatever I
yes.
want.
Yes.
And say whatever I want without this, I can't believe you said that.
Sure.
I can't believe you did
yeah.
that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so freeing.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I've done the opposite. So I was not on staff and now a part of a church plant out of our home.
Awesome. Okay.
And so well, we have established a culture that is definitely like freedom of speech. Like not one person doesn't just stand up on a pulpit. You're in a house. Like that'd be really weird.
Yeah.
So like everybody talks and shares and like puts in their experience, which is just so wildly important.
Yes.
Which is why people have small groups and life groups and things within larger communities of church. But there's this element of not necessarily a concern of what they think, but a pressure of, am I stewarding God's word right? Is it, am I saying, am I being, am I doing what I'm actually called to do?
Yeah.
Where is the line in my humanness and the line in my experiential relationship with God?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so hard.
I am
constantly on my knees about it.
It is.
And I think everybody should be. It's not an aha, I figured it out. This is how you do it.
Yes.
Even our pastor who has been, he was a preacher's kid. So he's been in the church.
Yeah.
He's taken steps back. He's taken steps in and deep and high and low and wide and all of the things. But it's still a constant pressure. And it's not a weight, but you're talking about how even this calling of like sharing your story feels like a burden in some sense.
Yeah.
Explain that to me.
It does. It's like, I think, I don't know, when you've gone through really hard things, and most of us have, and then when you feel like God has given you this desire or this passion to share and to write, I think I feel now like, with what we've gone through and with what we've learned and how we've recovered from all this marital hardship and infertility and all the things that came with that and being in ministry, now not being in ministry, church ministry, I think I've felt this burden of, oh man, if I've experienced freedom, if I've experienced healing, if God has really changed my life, then people need to know this. And so I think often feels like there's this burden on me where things still just constantly come and I'll make notes and I'll write down and how am I going to do this?
Yeah.
And I think the only way to relieve that burden is to put those things out there in the way that he's asked me to. And that's why I'm here.
to
find out how to do that really well in a
right.
way that honors God and a way that reaches people.
Yeah. And honors you and your husband and the struggles that you have gone through.
Yes.
I think that's a big place for me. I have people as close to me as my like siblings who will not follow me on social media. They cannot. They have, and I get the unfollow. It creates such a divide in our relationship because they don't feel like I'm supposed to be sharing those things and the intimacy. And I think there's this fear of like, are you going to talk about me? Not I think, I know.
Yeah.
There's this fear of, are you going to talk about me and your story?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, your name is not in my book, but you are in such close quarters with me. It does affect my life if something's going on in your life. But the story is not about you, you know? And so here I am and here you are like talking about your unborn child. Or talking about your now child, talking about your husband. I'm sure your parents are involved in that because of the heritage and the nature versus nurture concepts.
Yeah.
It's such a fine line.
Yeah.
And there is that burden weight of saying, okay, this is okay and this is not okay.
Yeah.
And yet God says the not okay is where he's pulling and tugging and tugging. And I'm like, shit, for lack of a better word, like, what do I do with this? How do I do this?
Yeah.
And not wanting to be, like, ostracized from my family.
Yeah.
But also knowing that sector of people is not who I'm supposed to be. I'm not writing the book for them.
Yeah.
I'm writing the book if one person buys it and one person is me.
Right.
I'm writing it for me.
Yeah.
That's hard.
It is.
Because it feels selfish.
Yes.
But it's also not for me at all. It's for all of you. So hard.
It's really not black and white.
No.
And I think that's what's so hard about it.
Yeah.
Because it's a definite, like, okay, I feel this burden now to speak on this topic. We've recently been sharing a lot about my husband's struggle with mental health.
Yeah.
And major struggle with depression, but also how that's played out with addiction.
Yeah.
And he just recently wrote a really long blog about what he's learned about that and trauma, how that played in. And it's really weird to share those types of things and then, like, who am I going to run into at the grocery store? Yes. It's like, hey, I read your blog and how your marriage fell apart and your husband this. And I'm like, yeah. It's like, so how do you honor him and people? And it's just, it really is one thing at a time. And having people, I think, involved in that process who you trust.
Right.
Who can say, no, this is good, this is healthy.
Right, that inner circle.
Bouncing things off people so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love if, like, the day my book launched, I flew to Tahiti and I just stayed there for the rest of my life.
Get out of town.
Like,
don't even want
to
be here.
Like, even my kids, they have to come and they don't have access to the book ever. Like, that's also something I struggle with is, like, my kids are going to one day read this. How do I want them to perceive what has happened in their mommy's life?
Yes.
And how do I want them not to label me?
Yeah.
Or judge or take that then as a chain, a ball and chain to their relationship? Because Lord knows, like, every marriage has issues. And if you portray that your marriage is perfect, I know that
you know
you're not true.
Yeah.
That is not true.
Yeah.
So, you know, marrying my cousin the other week and, like, speaking into their marriage, I felt such freedom in explaining to them that it's not all rainbows and butterflies, and that it's not about any of the people sitting in the pew or the chair watching this ceremony right now.
Yeah.
Had I given the given the, what do you say, like, the ceremony 4 years ago, it would have been so drastically different.
I'm sure.
And I'm so thankful that, like, God seasons us for the things that He does, and He knew this was going to happen before I could even comprehend it.
Yeah.
And really, I'm probably not going to be in Tahiti. So I just
gotta face it.
Gotta face the grocery store.
I felt the same way. I'm like, I will put this out there, and I will stay in my room.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm fine to share it this way. I don't want to see your face.
I still don't want to see it, and I don't want people to feel bad, and I don't want people to feel uncomfortable, and yet at the same time, I also don't even know that, like, in here I am speaking about, like, sharing it with the nations, but, like, it's not really for the people in my community. Like, my friends are not going to be the beta readers to my book.
Yeah.
I was, like, given that sound advice, like, do not give this to your mom and sister to say, do you think this is okay? Do you think this is good? They said either, one, they're just going to be ultimate supporters of you because that's what they've always been. And they're going to say, yeah, it's great. And they're not inside. They're going to be like, that was horrible. Or this is all the things that you should change because they don't want to offend you. But also, like, it's not for them. So really go outside of that inner circle, even next circle, and find beta readers. There's literally, like, free resources online for beta readers who will read your book and look through it and access it and give you sound, true
insight.
Good to
know. Yeah, okay.
So do that.
Yeah, good to know.
Yeah. So even, like, sharing, like, chapters with people, I think there's value to that. But I also think that it's muddled. And so we have to be very conscious of that, even in the grocery store, for the person who's judging you.
Yeah.
And that's likely going to happen.
Yeah.
So I can't give you sound advice then.
Yeah. So true. I am encouraged, though, because I think that we're all scared of being, we all judge, and we're all scared of being judged.
Yes.
And it's just so dumb. Every time I do it,
yes.
I'm like, come on,
yes.
You know better than this. So it's something I've been judged like crazy, and it's awful. It's so awful. And I have these giant fears of being misunderstood. And, but it's, again, it's something that unifies us. We all have those fears. We've all done it. And that's where I'm like, I want to, if it's uncomfortable, I want to do it.
Yeah, that's
and
so good.
If it's uncomfortable to talk about, I want to talk about it because
gosh.
It's uncomfortable for all of us.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And I get that not everyone can talk about it
right.
or should. And there are plenty of things that will never see the daylight of my blog
story. Yeah.
But for the things that I feel like God wants people to know.
Yeah.
And I've met so many women struggling with infertility or their marriages falling apart.
Yeah.
And this is just a need.
Yep.
And if it's uncomfortable, let's just talk about it.
Okay, wait, hold up. Before the episode continues, can you do a mic drop before the one-liner? I don't know if that's a thing, but I'm here to tell you about my girl Morgan with Heart Designs. Part of my passion is helping to illuminate the gifts within others. And this girl, y'all, she's a superstar. When it comes to all things digital marketing, From my PDF freebies to my website to logos or even event publicity, she's my go-to girl and she can be yours too. Go check her out now at www.heartdesigns.org. I mean, really, this podcast wouldn't even work if I didn't have her. Don't waste another minute. She'll be the mic drop to your dream. I know from experience.
Last night at dinner, we were talking about like pornography and in sex within marriage and how these are all like taboo topics. And there are some churches who have stewarded it very well. If you listen to Levi Lusco's like porn series, it's, I don't remember what it's called.
I have not heard that one. I will listen.
Girl, it is rad. It
That's
is so
awesome.
Good. And it gives you stats. And so it's really stewarding like truth in the essence of the world, but also truth with the big T of like, what does God say about this and how do you talk about it?
Mm-hmm.
And so often I see women struggling in this area where they feel like it's all men.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm about to go and host this event around the Safe House Project, which is a sex trafficking organization. The United States was just ranked the third largest country in the world for sex trafficking. And my hometown city of Virginia Beach was the 15th in the nation.
Oh, my goodness.
And so it's huge.
Yeah.
But people immediately think because the three top sex trafficked things in our nation is the Super Bowl and the Republican and National Democratic Convention. You think of a white male. I think of a white male, even after having a black president and women coming into the fold of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think of a white male.
Mm-hmm.
And it's stereotyping because if you look at the stats, 50% of people who are struggling with the addiction of pornography are women.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's something that women don't talk about.
Yeah.
And something that I really struggled with, not pornography, but concepts of sex.
Yeah.
It was less visual and more internal and vocal.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that as early as like middle school I struggled with.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a part of my story. And it's raw.
Yeah.
And people are like, she's a Christian, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And she's saved. And yet she went through all of this. And that is like the grace of God. That is literally what the feet of Jesus is about.
Yeah.
So you can judge me or you can join me.
Exactly.
And that's where I want. That's what my heart is.
Yes.
Like, stop judging. Give yourself the space not to judge yourself, not to judge others. And join me. Like, it's
that's
at
so
the beat.
Great.
Yeah,
yeah, that needs to be talked about so much more.
And it does, because we just condemn any form of judgment to one thing or one side of the story, and there's not just one side to any story.
No.
So taking ownership in the part that you've played in my marriage breaking as well, what does that look like, and how did that unfold? And it's not about the details. It's about the redemption. And I'm saying things I wish I was writing down. This is good.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, blog that.
Oh, that's funny. No, it's so true. Yeah, it's so, so true. And it is easy to judge Christians especially. And I'm like, we're just as human as everyone else.
Yeah.
This is, let's look at Jesus. Let's not look at us. And even like being leaders in the church.
Yeah.
We elevate them. We idolize them. Like, you couldn't do that. You would never do that.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, they're human.
Yeah.
They have their own baggage. They've all had probably some sort of trauma in their life.
Yeah.
They've all had voids.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so it's like, we all need more grace.
Yeah.
There just needs to be more grace.
Yeah.
And
I think that that's where we're called and how we're called is that when grace meets vulnerability, that's the true access point of freedom.
Yeah.
Because we all have grace. Like, it's elemental. Like, it is there. You're given it. It's accessible right now.
Yeah.
But what happens is we internalize that grace to then be overwhelmed, to then be struggle, to then be shame and guilt. And it doesn't... It could be somebody else's problem, but yet we take it as our own shame and our own guilt.
Yeah.
So I admire you that you're about to walk into like really unveiling what that means to people. It's hard. And I'll be cheering for you.
Thanks.
And I just want to full circle come back to the fact that like this is a space of like-minded, like-hearted women, which
mm-hmm.
I think is another key element of like-minded.
Yes, yes.
You have to have a like heart.
Yeah.
Because if you're missing that element, the pursuit becomes very wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where brokenness comes.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I was along many like-minded people when I was aspiring and a CEO of two companies. And I was going after the cash show, the money.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. But at the same time, I was really broken.
Yeah.
That was when my ministry was non-existent. That is when I did not know Jesus. I talked about Jesus, but I did not know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's when my marriage broke. That's when my motherhood struggles were at its peak. I mean, everything is aligned. My fitness, my
yes.
body image, I mean, sexual
yes.
issues, everything.
Yes.
Pinnacle, because I was in pursuit of the wrong things with
mm-hmm.
like-minded people who did not have like hearts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when you're pursuing your calling like that, I think, yeah, that's Satan doesn't ever get us in the black or the white.
Mm-hmm.
He knows better. He gets us in the gray. Jeez. And there's so many parts of following our calling
mm-hmm.
that become gray. And that's where we have to like hold so tight to what did God ask me to do? What does this look like? What are my trusted advisors speaking into this and
yeah.
saying, and yeah,
yeah,
just keep the heart
right
and mind.
You're saying that, and
right.
I want to like go back further. So, like, were you always rooted in the church? Or, like, have you always believed in God?
Yes,
or Christian.
Yes, okay. I grew up in a Christian home.
Uh-huh.
Was one of those people that I was leading worship when I was like 11.
Wow, cool.
I know. But
I hope that for my
yeah.
children.
It was
like, oh, I love
it. It was great. It was
yes,
great.
Sure,
my
sure.
dad was on the worship team, and
cool.
I have a lot of memories growing up in the church.
That's awesome.
But I will say, I don't feel like sometimes people who grow up in the faith, grow up in the
mm-hmm.
church, I honestly think sometimes we're harder to reach
sure.
because we have our own minds made up and we become hard about
mm-hmm.
different things
mm-hmm.
and unwavering, and we haven't really experienced intense rescue
good.
Other people have.
Yes.
And
ugh.
So I think sometimes it can be a hindrance, and I think for me for a lot of years it was.
Yeah.
But I really feel like in the last several years the darkness of the infertility and marriage
yeah.
and this is why God
yeah.
He, you know, what it says, whispers in our pleasures and shouts in our pain. And I feel like he really rescued me these last several years. So, yes, I've been a believer
yeah.
my whole life, essentially. But I feel like he won me the last several years.
I love that.
So now that's why I
so
want to help other people
yeah.
understand that.
In, like, portions of my book, and I shared this last year in my publisher and agent appointment, and I don't know if it's the right wording, but it's really how I feel, that there are people who are spiritually obese and spiritually their muscle is good. Like, they practice it all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yet they're so missing the mind and body element
yeah.
of that, and how they're so aligned.
Yeah.
And I was speaking specifically to someone who I knew physically I would love to work out with. And I'm like, you got this, girl. Like, let's
mm-hmm.
go.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like people are missing that connection. And
yes.
so here you are talking about, like, I was Christian, but I was not, like, fully rescued from God.
Yeah.
Is, like, knowing that, like, our spiritual obesity and spiritual strengths can be a hindrance
mm-hmm.
to the full capacity of what God has in store for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is wholeness. That is health
mm-hmm.
in your mind, in
mm-hmm.
your heart, and in your emotion of your marriage and,
mm-hmm.
and all of those pieces.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a one-track thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
It's easy to become like the Pharisees. It's easy
yes.
to become hypocritical and judgmental.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I was. And if you
mm-hmm.
look in the Bible, Jesus was way harder on the Pharisees.
Yes.
And I think when your life falls apart and you're humbled all the way down
mm-hmm.
to your rock bottom,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, yeah, there's way more to this
yes.
than that. And
yeah.
So.
But it takes all of the knowledge that you had up to those points that now you get to reassess
yeah.
and really just uncover in such a way that you never did before.
Yes.
So it's probably the writing process has probably been like very emotional on top
oh,
of the
yeah.
emotion of what you're bringing to the table, but a spiritually emotional
yes.
to
yeah.
say, oh my gosh, God, I missed it. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And so that's how I feel when I'm writing and I like uncover something, like even something like hydration. And with my book, it kind of follows from workout regimen of warm up to cool down and all the things in between and hydration and how you fuel your body is one of those things. And here we are. Water is a fundamental need. Mm-hmm. I don't think God did that accidentally.
Yeah.
Simultaneously, biblically, he calls himself the living water. Mm-hmm. And so here's the physical element. Like, you have to have this to be whole. And here's the spiritual element. And then when you blend that with understanding of what it does to the space of your mind when you drink water, it's so good.
Yeah.
It's so much deeper than just, make sure you get your 60 ounces of water today. Mm-hmm. Like, people, they put it all in these separate brackets. This is my body. This is my mind. This is my soul.
Yes.
Today, I work on mental health. Today, I'm not depressed. Today, I take my Xanax. Whatever.
Yeah.
And everything else is separate.
Yeah.
But we are such, like, connected beings. Mm-hmm. It's the whole point of why we are connecting, like, in this moment. Mm-hmm. And however many women are about to connect in the next couple days, it's not, we're not solely in a universe by ourselves, or God would have just created Adam.
Yeah. And I love that. I'm excited to read your book, and I'm excited to learn more, because that is something I've always struggled with.
Yeah.
Like, I can work on my spiritual health, my mental health, my heart health, but my body has struggled, and I think for a long time I resented it. It didn't give me babies. I have really bad genes. There's a ton of obesity in my family. I have PCOS. So it's easy to feel like the victim to all that.
Absolutely.
And I've definitely done that, definitely played that card. But, and then through a lot of depression, like, my coping was food.
Yeah. Sure.
And so it's like, so now I'm going through this journey of, like, how do I reconnect and stop being the victim in this area? And, like, unify those things, like you're saying. And I love that whole concept. And, and this is why I love learning from other women.
Yes, there's so much.
Good. Yeah.
It doesn't matter how aligned your stories are. There's so much difference. There's so much difference of perspective. And, I mean, I just love that. So I can't wait. I can't wait to see, like, what's to come.
Yeah.
I was, like, worshiping this morning while I was getting ready, and my roommate, who's never been, she's like, okay, you need to come down and that. And I'm like, you don't understand.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. And I'm an excitable person anyway, but, like, I can't wait to just, like, hug people's necks that I've seen.
Yes.
But also just encourage people who this is their first time. And I remember, even on my drive here last year, I recited my pitch 5,000 times. Mm. I recorded it, listened to it, then recited it again. Recorded it, listen, recite. And I didn't even know that I was going to be pitching until Monday of this week. And so I'm like, oh, like, I have to, like, get everything together. And God so ordained it that I was jam-packed for 48 hours with my other responsibilities. Had no time to do any of that. And then to drive with someone where didn't have access
have
to do
that.
So yesterday night at dinner was the first time someone was like, so what is your book about? And I was like, oh, shma. I don't know.
I spent all this time on it, and suddenly my mind is blank. I have no idea what I just wrote.
I don't know what my 200 pages are about.
Now that is very scary.
So, like, I'm excited to, like, get, like, expectant. Like, God just keeps unlayering and unveiling, like, the reliance that I just need to have on him. That I'm not in control. That this story is not mine. He scripted it from the get-go. So,
He did. It'll be really, really good. And I think we do have to trust, like, okay, what's to come from this year? Like, I had no idea last year, and he completely delivered. And it was a very productive, fruitful last year.
That's my year, my word.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's a good word. It's a good word. So I think we can trust him with what will come from this year.
Yeah, that's so good. I joked that the fruit, though, that I'm being handed is like a pomegranate or like a star fruit. We're like, what is this? And how the heck do I get to the goodness? But again, another, like, God's funny. Like, he has a comedy to the way that he interacts with us. And, like, allow yourself to laugh. Like, spirituality and religion, quote unquote, is not intended to be this, like, stuffy, you can't speak about anything fun. Like, that's not.
He wasn't like that.
No, exactly. Like, you can find so many jokes in the Bible. Like, is there a book? I'm sure there's, like, a book. We have to find the joke book, Bible book.
That's
like,
funny,
that would be a really funny thing to then press into some friends who are, like, have their pants on too tight.
It makes me really happy.
This is our guy.
Yes.
No,
yes.
I think he has a lot of humor. We were talking yesterday about like the connectivity point of like people and judging. So I want to bring it full circle, but we all put our pants on the same way.
Yes.
I said I went a step further, and like we all wipe our butt the same, and we all have to pick up dog shit if we have dogs.
Yeah.
So like,
just, and I've been potty training. So
yeah,
and I pick up my dog's
yes.
poop.
Oh
so
gosh,
I've been doing a lot lately. So
I get it. I have to
yeah.
change the pee pad the same
yeah.
way for the kids. Like it just is what it is.
Yeah.
So know that like you're all in this together.
Mm-hmm.
Remind people to just like give each other grace. Stop judging and join. It's really fun and scary, and the adrenaline is awesome.
So true.
Yeah.
So true.
Thank you so much
Thanks
for being here.
Hey, y'all. I hope in today's episode you sensed an ignite to an ember within you. Something mentally, physically, emotionally, or spiritually moving that creates and sustains a fire within your wholeness journey. Before you go, let's solidify the flame. I'd love for you to take a step right now in declaring your takeaway. By snapping a pic of the episode you tuned into, share your sparked moment and tag me at Fit and Faith with the hashtag Fit and Faith Podcast so I can help you stay accountable. We're in this together, right? Community over competition is the motto. I'd also be incredibly grateful if you took an extra second to leave a review on iTunes or your podcast listening app. Let's fuel the flame and share the gift of wholeness with everybody. Until next time, cheers to your health and happiness.